In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6, the apostle speaks of multitudes who profess to walk with God. If we say we have fellowship with Him, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Almost everybody you know says he has fellowship with God. Almost everybody I know professes to have fellowship with God, but they walk in darkness. They walk in darkness. They have no understanding of God's ways, of God's word, of God's providence. No understanding of God's grace. No understanding of God's salvation. No understanding of Christ's accomplishments. No understanding of true righteousness, the righteousness of God in Christ. No understanding of sin's forgiveness. They say we have fellowship with God, but they don't have a clue who God is. They lie and do not the truth. Then in verse 7, John turns this thing around. But if we walk in the light, as He, the triune God, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Here is the walk of every believer. We walk in the light as He is in the light. Here is the witness of our heavenly birth. We have fellowship one with another. Here is the washing of our souls. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Walking in the light and washed in the blood. Those words set forth both the character of God's elect and our confidence before God in Christ Jesus. John is talking about communion, fellowship between God and His people. He has described God's holy character. He says, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Light represents purity, holiness, clarity. Darkness represents that which is concealed, hidden, and evil. Where light shines, darkness flees away. God is light. No duplicity about God. Nothing about God that He seeks to hide from men. Nothing about God that is deceitful or cunning. Nothing about God that's unclear. God is light. Everything in the world that is described as good is an emanation of that light which is God. In fact, the very word God is but an abbreviation of the word good. God is good, for God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. As you read through this short epistle, you cannot fail to see that John was a man who had experienced the things he was talking about. He didn't trade in secondhand knowledge. I've observed over the years that preachers generally trade in secondhand knowledge. They go to Bible college and they learn to parrot what preachers before them have said, and to stand in the pulpit like a parrot in a cage and repeat the things they've heard without thought or consideration from their own experience. John was not such a preacher. That which he preached from the depths of his soul's experience and knowledge. The fact is, you can never understand anything in this book. You can never understand anything with regard to the gospel of God's grace. You can never understand anything spiritual except by experience. You can only know God by the experience of knowing God. You can only know Christ by the experience of knowing Christ. You can only know God's truth by the experience of knowing God's truth. You know the power of God when the power of God is felt in your soul. You know the power of Christ's blood when your soul is cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know something about forgiveness when you've experienced forgiveness, but not until then. The fact is, you can't know sin until God makes you to know your own sin. You can talk about total depravity, and I suppose you can write books about total depravity, and you preach sermons about total depravity and know nothing about sin until God shows you what you are. You can know nothing at all about the efficacy of Christ's precious blood in the forgiveness of sin until the blood of Christ sprinkled on your conscience purges your conscience from dead works to serve the living God and gives you a clean conscience before God. You can know nothing at all about salvation by God's grace until you have been delivered from the pit of corruption where there is no water by the grace of God Almighty in Christ Jesus the Lord. John believed what he wrote. He spoke as one having authority because he spoke from deeply felt experience. God make me that kind of preacher. Oh, God, make me that kind of preacher. I hope never to stand where I stand tonight in front of this congregation or any other, no matter how few or how many, and not speak with the authority of God's word experienced in my soul the very message I'm trying to deliver to you. Here's my message tonight. The light, the witness, and the washing. I want to talk to you about what I know concerning the light and the witness of God in my soul and the washing of the precious blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. I read somewhere recently, preachers today are licensed and ordained by the church. Prophets of old were ordained and sent of God. Preachers today go forth armed with degrees and credentials. Preachers of old went forth in the power of God the Holy Ghost. Preachers today are questioned by committees and councils, and they're hired to preach what churches believe. God's servants came preaching, thus saith the word of the Lord. What a difference. Preachers today give themselves to programs and to visitation and to church business. That's what preachers are expected to do. God's servants of old gave themselves to prayer and study and preaching. Oh, God, raise up some men today who will give themselves to prayer and study and preaching. And we will see God's church blessed as the result. Preachers today preach and men are persuaded to move their membership from one church to another. Prophets of old preached and sinners were pricked in their hearts and cried, men and brethren, what must we do? Preachers today pray, and the organ plays softly in the background. Elijah prayed and fire of God fell from heaven. What a difference. What a difference. Preachers today are afraid they might offend somebody. God's servants in days gone by were afraid they might not. Paul said, if the offense of the cross is ceased, then why do I yet suffer persecution? The cross of Jesus Christ is always offensive. And if the message I preach to you is received by folks who do not believe God, if the message I preach, men hear it and refuse to believe God and are comfortable listening to me, I haven't done any preaching. The gospel is always offensive to proud, self-righteous, lost religious people. May God the Holy Spirit give me grace to preach the gospel with such authority, the authority of God, the authority of God's word, the authority of experience felt in my soul. And there are two great lessons we're taught when we learn the gospel. We're taught something about the enormity and the heinousness of our own inbred natural corruption and sin. We're made to know something about our sin. There's no such thing as a man or a woman being saved by God's grace without being made to know something about his or her sin. Your inner depth of depravity. And the learning of the gospel causes us to know the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, to cleanse us from all sin, to cleanse us from sin before God. The believer, you come into the church house a few minutes ago and you sit down and you sing the songs with us and you have a screaming guilty conscience. And then as the word is opened, God opens your heart, gives you life and faith in Christ, and looking away to Christ the Lord, suddenly your conscience, rather than screaming, rejoices. Rather than damning you, gives you the blessed assurance of acceptance with God and favor with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. If you and I are true believers, these things we have experienced and we continually experience. We're made to know more and more as we learn and grow in the things of God, our own depravity. And we're made to know more and more as we learn and grow in the things of God, the merit, the efficacy, and the value of Christ's sin-atoning blood. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And let's look at the three statements given in this passage of Scripture. Here are the three things I want you to see. First, the walk. All who are united to God by faith in Christ walk in the light. Second, the witness. Those who walk in the light, trusting the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, have fellowship with God. And third, the washing. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. First, we learn that all who are united to God by faith in Christ walk in the light. We walk in the light. What's he talking about? Isaiah describes all mankind as being blind men who grope about in darkness. Man by nature lives in darkness, spiritual darkness. Now he may be brilliant, he may be academically brilliant, he may be scientifically brilliant, he may be philosophically brilliant, but he walks in darkness. With regard to all things spiritual, the carnal mind is darkness. Darkness. So that the natural man, the natural woman, from their youth up, live in darkness. And there's no possibility of you removing the darkness from them. They're blind. And blind men just can't see. They just can't see. No matter how much light you shine in their faces, they can't see. Doesn't matter how reasonably you present your arguments, they can't see. Now you can persuade a blind man that something is reasonable. You can persuade him that something must be true. You can persuade him with argument and logic and scientific proof that certain things just must be. But you can't show him light. You can't make him see. You can't do it. We have this Creation Science Museum up here in Northern Kentucky. One of these days I want to go see it. I think it'd be a good thing to go see. I'm interested in it. I'm interested in creation science research. I'm interested in the scientific arguments and things of that nature. They're helpful to my understanding of things. But if I knew I could go over to the University of Kentucky tomorrow and convince everybody in the science department and medical school that creation is so and evolution's a joke. If I knew I could convince them, Bobby, I wouldn't waste my time. I wouldn't waste my time. Convincing men that God created the world is not going to do them any good. It's not going to do them any good. It won't give them any light. It won't give them any understanding. Men by nature live in darkness. Our Lord told Nicodemus, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot perceive. He cannot understand the things of God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. So that the natural man cannot receive the things of God for their foolishness to him. They're spiritually discerned. And a man who has no spiritual life has no spiritual light and cannot understand anything with regard to the light. Men walk in darkness. When God comes in saving mercy, God commands the light to shine out of darkness, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to the opening verse of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. I can't think of a better way to illustrate what I'm trying to show you than what you have here in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, I know that in this day, the whole world around us laughs at us for even imagining that God created the heaven and the earth. Let them laugh. Let them laugh. It is beyond absurd. It is beyond absurd for a rational, thinking human being. I'm talking about one outside of a nut house. I'm talking about one that's not wrapped up in a straitjacket. It is beyond absurd for a rational human being to imagine that this just kind of popped into existence. If you call that brilliance, I don't want any of it. That's beyond absurd. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You don't really believe that. Of course I do. I believe God. And if you believe God, you'd believe that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was. Now that word was means and would better be translated and is commonly translated became. The earth became without form and void. God didn't create it that way. You can read it in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18. God didn't create the earth vain. He didn't create it without form and void. Something happened. Something happened. A great judgment fell upon the earth, and the earth became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's what happened in the natural creation, and Adam, that's what happened in the spiritual, in the physical creation of man. God created Adam, created him upright in his own image, made Adam in the image of God, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And Adam walked with God. He walked with God, and Merle, he was brilliant. He was brilliant. Oh, I can't begin to imagine what intellectual powers Adam must have had. He walked with God, and he was naked, and he wasn't ashamed. Had nothing to be ashamed of. And then he became without form and void. Darkness engulfed him. Adam took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, rebelling against God. And Satan promised that if you eat this and your eyes will be opened. And boy, his eyes were open. Now watch Adam. Now watch him. This man, Ron, who was created in the brilliance of perfect manhood, thinks he can hide from God behind a fig leaf. Suddenly, Adam and Eve, who had been walking with God, forgive me, I don't want to make myself cough or laugh, I can't stand the pain, but they've been walking with God. And now, since they've gotten brilliant, darkness has covered their minds, they think they can hide from God in a bush. They think they can hide from God in a bush. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now watch this. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God brooded over his creation. God brooded over his creation. Like a hen sitting on eggs, bringing them to maturity and life, the Spirit of God sat upon his creation. And God said, "Let there be light." And suddenly the light began to shine. That's exactly what happens in the new birth. God the Holy Spirit comes and he gives life to men. And he says, "Let there be light." And the light shines. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And when he does, we begin to walk in the light. We walk in the light, desiring that our deeds be reproved. Desiring that the light expose what's in us. Desiring that the light make us known to ourselves. That we might make ourselves known to God, confessing our sin. We come to the light, delighting in the light, and walk in the light. We walk in the light of God's Word, in the light of divine revelation, in the light of God's character. We walk in the light as God directs us in the light, ordering our steps. Celeste sang this morning, "The steps of a good man ordered of the Lord." And so we walk in the light as God orders our steps and directs our way and gives us light in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We don't draw back from the light. No, those who love darkness draw back from the light, lest their deeds be reproved. The believer opens his heart He says, oh God, shine in the deep recesses of this dark heart of mine and make me to know the loathsome things hidden in this deep cesspool of iniquity, that I may confess what I am and walk in the light. The believer walks in the light. Uprightly, honestly, sincerely, confessing his sin, confessing himself before God Almighty, trusting the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, alone to cleanse us from all sin. We walk in the light. And yet, at present, we can't stand in the dazzling brilliance of God's ineffably glorious character. We'd be consumed like a snowball in a blast furnace. We can't walk right into the sun. It'd burn us up. We just walk in the light of the sun. But soon, oh, soon, all the duplicity that remains in us, all the corruption that remains in us, all the darkness that yet resides in us shall be taken away. And in heaven's clearer light, there will be no need of the sun or of the moon or of the stars, but Christ himself shall be the light of the city, and we shall walk in the light in perfect freedom as he is the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's my second point. Walking in the light, that's the character of God's saints. We live by faith, walking in the light that God's given us. And we have fellowship one with another. Now obviously, you and I who are born of God have fellowship with each other. All true believers live in the sweet fellowship of the gospel. Believers have fellowship with each other. Let us cultivate the fellowship. Let us cherish the fellowship. Let us embrace one another as brethren walking in fellowship with God. God forgive me for every ill thought I have with regard to any of his own, and teach me better. If Lindsay Campbell belongs to God, God Almighty loves him with an everlasting love, redeemed him, made him perfectly righteous, and I ought to embrace him as God does in Christ, redeemed and perfectly righteous. And if he happens to look at me the wrong way, that's all right. It doesn't really matter. Believers have fellowship one with another. We have one heavenly Father, one elder brother, all redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, all born of God the Holy Spirit, all walking together in the same blessed family to the same everlasting end, heirs of the same glorious inheritance. But that's not what John's talking about here. He talked about that back in verse 3. Here, John is talking about not a horizontal fellowship between men and men, but a vertical fellowship of men with God. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You and I, who are God's, have fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. Rex, we had been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We who were sometimes darkness are now light, children of the light, the light of the world. And we have fellowship with God who is light. Let me look at three passages. Turn back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. No, Go back to Galatians first. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4. Now try to imagine what I'm telling you. We have fellowship with God, and God has fellowship with us. We live in the same realm as the triune Jehovah. We live in the Spirit. We live in God. No longer just in this world. No longer in the flesh, but in God. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now watch this. And because you are sons, chosen and adopted of God from everlasting, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. What? No more a servant, but a son. There was a place in Madisonville, Kentucky, many years ago. First time I went there, I went and visited it. If I remember correctly, it was made out of cinder block and painted green on the outside. It's called Brown's Nursing Home. And there was a fella in there. He and his brother worked there. And they took care of things around there. They were sons in the family. Their mom and dad started it from nothing. Have I got that about right? And you had lots of folks working for you. Lots of folks working for them. And those other folks were servants. They didn't own anything. They didn't have rights over anything. They weren't allowed to say anything they weren't permitted to say. They were servants. They were hired to do a job, taken care of accordingly, paid accordingly, and dealt with accordingly. Is that right? They never were put in your mom and dad's will, were they? I'm just guessing. They just weren't. But these boys were the sons. That means everything there belongs to them. Everything belonged to them. They're sons in the house. Now, you and I, who are God's, are no longer servants in a stranger's kingdom. We're sons in the Father's house. Can you get hold of this? We now live in the realm of the Spirit. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Look at how Paul describes this in Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, that is by Christ, we have access by faith into this grace. Watch this. Wherein we stand. We have access into this grace of sonship, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. For hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We live here in hope. Hope that shall never be put to shame, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. God Almighty poured out His Spirit upon us in His grace, giving us life and faith in Christ His Son, causing us to lift our hearts to heaven and cry, Abba, Father. And now we walk in God's world in the midst of tribulation and pain and trouble and heartache and trial with hope that shall never be put to shame, because the Spirit of God lives in us and we live in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, I keep saying this because I know you, like myself, you have the influence of religious nonsense. People have the idea that this is talking about you. You can have real assurance if you live real good. If you really are good, then you have assurance. But if you mess up, you don't have any. That's not what it is to walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit, Bob, is to trust the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, to cleanse you from all sin. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. To them that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, who live by faith in Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ, that's the gospel. The law of sin and death, that's the law of Moses, the ministration of death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We fulfill the law, believing Christ. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To live by the law is death. That's what it is to be carnally minded. To be spiritually minded, to live by faith in Christ, that's life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now Mark, listen to this. But you are not in the flesh. What? I'm looking at a whole bunch of folks sitting out here in bodies of flesh. What do you mean you're not in the flesh? You no longer live in the flesh, after the flesh, carnally, but rather in the Spirit. But in the Spirit. What do you mean? If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received again the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you've received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now watch this. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. One more passage. Look at Colossians chapter 1, or chapter 3. If we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with God. Our life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. If we walk with God, as God is light, the secret of God is with us, and our secret is with God. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now here's the third thing, the washing. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That is, the whole of our acceptance with God is the precious sin-atoning blood of Jesus Christ. He who is God the Son came into this world in our flesh. He lived in our room instead as our representative, took our sins to be his own, and hung upon the cursed tree, bearing our sins in his body on the tree until he had fully satisfied the wrath and justice of the holy Lord God to put away sin. And now his precious blood pardons all our sin. There's no other way sin could be pardoned, for without the shedding of blood is no remission. But there's no way that our sin cannot be pardoned if Christ, God's darling Son, was made sin for us and satisfied the wrath of God in our stead. With his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Lord willing, I'll come back to this another time, but everything here is full of greatness. Oh, how great my sin. It took the blood of Christ to put it away. And he surrendered all. Oh, how great my sin. Oh, how great the love of God for my soul must be. That he loved me and gave his Son to redeem me. Oh, how great Christ's sacrifice must be. His one sacrifice put away all the sins of all his people at once forever. And yet his great sacrifice continually cleanseth us from all sin. His blood alone. How can I be cleansed of my sin? I'm talking about clean before God, so that I have no reason to dread God, no reason to be terrified of God, no reason to fear divine wrath and punishment. How can that be? There's not a word here about religious rites and ceremonies, not a word about baptism or the Lord's Supper, not a word about sacraments and indulgences, not a word here concerning obedience, not a word here even concerning repentance, not even a word here concerning our continuing in the way of godliness. Nothing is said here about experience, emotion, or feeling. Brother Don, it looks like everything here is Christ and his blood. Everything. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin, so that looking away to Christ, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, every sinner who believes on the Son of God, walking in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with God, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, completely cleanses us from all sin forever, so that sin can never be imputed to me. This is the believer's walk. We walk in the light. Walk in the light. God, here I am. You know all things. Behold me. Behold me. Search me. Try me. Know my heart. Know my thoughts. I'm in the light. I would hide nothing from my God. Nothing. There's a lot of things I'll hide from you, not from God. You don't need to know everything. Nothing from God. I have fellowship with God. That pretty blonde there. We're a lot different from each other. Most of y'all didn't know that, did you? She's sweet and pretty and easy to get along with, and I'm grumpy and hard-nosed and hard to get along with. And we've been living together for 43 years almost. Almost 43 years. And we have wonderful fellowship with each other. Wonderful fellowship. We're very comfortable with each other. Very comfortable. Comfortable with one another's company. A fellowship with each other. We, walking in the light with God, are comfortable with God. I'm comfortable with God, Merle, aren't you? Oh, more comfortable with God than I am with you. Comfortable. We have fellowship with each other. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin. Have no reason not to be comfortable with God. And God has no reason not to be comfortable with me. I'm in His Son. Oh, may He be pleased now to give you life and faith in His Son. Amen.